يا أخي المسلم في كل مكان وبلد أنت مني وأنا منك.
This is Helpline 1548 with مولانا حبيب بابان.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 8 minutes after 7, welcome to the Helpline program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat and inshallah I'll be in your company for the next hour or so. In today's program of the Helpline, we are discussing a scenario of a sister who is intending to put their children into homeschooling system. However, she's a bit puzzled. Should I go ahead or shouldn't I go ahead? If I do put my children into homeschooling, will they be productive or will it be counterproductive for them? These are types of challenges she is facing. And to help her make the right choice today, inshallah, we are joined on the line by Mawlana Ridwan Rabat. Mawlana Ridwan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mawlana and all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Mawlana, how's Newcastle keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, cold and happy.
Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it productive for one and all, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We play you the scenario first and thereafter we tackle the questions.
Interact with Mawlana Habib Bobat on Twitter at Habib Bobat.
Assalamu alaikum. I have two kids, a daughter that is 6 years old and a son that's 5 years old. They both have completed their nursery education. I am now considering sending them to homeschooling. I feel very unsafe in the school environment due to the modern day challenges. My only fear with homeschooling is that my children could be backwards in life, and there's also the angle of being unsocial when they grow up. How do I go about deciding the above matter? Am I making the right choice in homeschooling?
Call Mawlana Habib Bobat on 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548.
I'd like to hear from the public out there, parents who are currently involved in this whole situation, parents who are homeschooling their children. What are the benefits? What are the disadvantages? Some of the hurdles that you come across, and also some of the benefits that you find in homeschooling them. And those people who went through the homeschooling system and today are 20, 21 or whatever, they are starting their professional life. How did you benefit from this whole system? 011-854-1548. And also the SMS line 07-222-18384. Well, now we see, alhamdulillah, the sister has got a genuine concern for her children that they should be given a good environment and also a good education at the same time, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Mawlana. This is such a valuable point. And really, you commend and you compliment the woman on taking this brave step forward. Worrying about the education of our children and also securing a good environment is very, very important. And at the same time, it is something which is lacking in the Ummah. You know, very recently, and throughout the course of the program, we will mention incidents, certain happenings. It's not to make anybody despondent. It's not to run down the Ummah, but just to give us a good understanding of where we presently stand. A girl was born to a certain family, and the mother had suggested a name. And the father objected to the name because the meaning was too good. So the father felt, and these were his words, and I remember it very clearly. He said, I wouldn't want to name my daughter such a good name because I don't want her to grow up so pious.
Where is the world going to?
So, and I'm saying again, Mawlana, we're not here to run down anybody and we're not here to make anybody despondent, but this should become a reality. So for this woman to come up and, you know, to have this worry and to have this concern of her children's education at the one hand, and also we know the devastating happenings in mainstream schooling.
Yes, so alhamdulillah, she is taking a step in the right direction, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept her efforts and also her genuine concern in this regard. Really, today parents do not take this seriously. They want to get it, it's more like a burden. Let's get him any school, man. Just put him in the school around the corner. irrespective of the environment and the education system and all those things. Many people sidelining. They just said, okay, just get them into any school and get them out of the house. If that is our attitude, then unfortunately you can't expect much from our children when they finish from school. And likewise, you get those parents that are overly involved. So we need to draw the balance, inshallah, in bringing up our children and choosing the right environment for them. The environment is very important. With the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trying to recall the Arabic text, that sitting in the company of a good is better than to sit separately. And to sit separately, al-wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su' wal... what's the Arabic? I can't get it. To sit separately is better when there's an evil person around. So the environment is very important. That kunu ma'a sadiqin, be with the pious people, be with the people who are righteous. Because by sitting in the company and by staying in the company, you automatically benefit from them. So likewise, when a child is in a good environment, when the child grows up in a holistic environment, then automatically the product and the end result will be wonderful and phenomenal. And on the opposite side, if the child grows up in a wrong environment, in the wrong company, we find drugs and all the other challenges that our children are facing, then they are so vulnerable, they could be caught in the wrong direction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the parents that are parenting in this day and age. It is difficult indeed. But let's move on. In order to help the sister make the right choice in the above scenario, she's a bit puzzled. What are some of the benefits of homeschooling the children in today's day and age, Munara?
Maulana, before we go into the benefits of homeschooling, just as an introduction, and to help this parent make up her mind, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's important that for all of us to understand our objective and our purpose of being sent to this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum wa antum khuliqtum lil-akhirah." That this world has been made subservient to you, and it has been put to your use, but ultimately we have been prepared for the akhirat. And if in every decision, if we keep this in front of us, then how will this affect mine or my child's akhirat? It will set the stone, and it will be easy for us now to take decisions, you know, in any matter in the way forward. Also very important for the sister, while it's noble, it's a good intention, but there are certain guidelines when taking a decision which Sharia has outlined for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, وَلَا خَابَ مَنْ إِسْتَخَارَ, that the person who makes istikhara will never swallow the bitter pill of failure. So while it is definitely a good decision, it's also important that we make istikhara and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Rasulullah, the sahaba say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized istikhara with us kasurati min al-Qur'an, like he taught us a chapter of the Holy Qur'an. Today, unfortunately, we have restricted it to marriage, maybe a big business decision, and that's as far as it goes, but this is a unique tool. So it's important for the mother and for the sister to make istikhara and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And also very important, wala nadima man istashara, that that person who consults and make mashwara will never have regrets. So if there is somebody in the community doing homeschooling, if you know somebody who's involved in the system, make mashwara with them, see what it entails. Yes, we will mention the benefit, but there is a lot of responsibility which is attached to it. We want to provide an alternative, but at the same time, it has to be a productive and a good alternative. So the responsibility which is attached with it, let us make mashwara with those who are involved in it. Maulana, as far as the advantages are concerned, very, very important is what Maulana has outlined, that you are bringing up your child in your own environment. You know, today, anything that's homemade is valuable. You know, so if you go into a business, you go into a shop, they say this is homemade, this is handmade, it's handcrafted. Why not have homemade children?
Yes.
Imagine the value. There's no price tag which will be attached to the value of the child. We know what's happening in the mainstream schooling system. 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a devastating teacher, you know, in the Durban area. It made mainstream news that he was busy with an overhead projector. And when he had concluded his lessons, unfortunately, you know, I also apologize to the seniors who are listening. We don't mean to offend them. But again, these are occurrences. We can't isolate ourselves. We can't alienate ourselves from these happenings. We need to know what is happening. And this foolish teacher, after concluding the lesson, then goes on to surf pornography on his laptop. Not realizing that it is projected on the overhead projector.
Allah.
Now imagine exposing our children to such filth at such a young age. And the children want to now bring it to the attention of the teacher, but he is so foolish and so engrossed in what he is doing, every time they are calling him, they are telling him, sir, sir, he is telling him, keep quiet.
Subhanallah.
And he is carrying on.
Yeah.
You know, the devastating independent commission that has now rated South Africa 148 in math and science, which is disputed and debated, and that's on another platform. But there is got to be some reality attached to it. So that home environment is one which no price can be attached to, and that is about the greatest, benefit of schooling your children at home. In a certain drug rehabilitation, one of the youngest, or not one of, the youngest boy who was admitted for drug rehabilitation was 7 years old.
Seven
and when
years.
They asked him, they said, but how did you become a drug addict at 7 years? He said, my friends and I, we are a group of people, and we are drug mules. We peddle drugs for the drug lord.
Allah.
Now, imagine having your child sitting next to a drug lord in a grade 1 class. So, Maulana, you see, again, while I'm mentioning this incident, there might be parents who are listening who unfortunately are forced to send their children to mainstream schooling. We're not for a moment suggesting you take your children out. If homeschooling is an option, it's an option. And if they have to go to mainstream schooling, it's important that we be and we take cognizance of these facts. They are not isolated, they are realities, they are happening, and we should be particular when it comes to this regard. Another great advantage of homeschooling is a child gets individual attention.
Yeah.
In a classroom scenario, especially in state schools, where unfortunately teachers are overburdened, there's 45 children in a classroom, sometimes there isn't adequate stationery and furniture in the classroom. You know, at home, they are in your care, they are in your eye, and they get individual attention. And another very important aspect is we instill Islamic values into our children. Because this is what matters, you know. لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا بَلِ الْجَمَالُ جَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. That beauty is not dressing and dolling our children up in designer wear. If we give them good, solid upbringing, good akhlaq, good character, good morals, that is what will make our children prosper. And in the home environment, it's possible. In the school environment, unfortunately, the curriculum is structured in such a way that it caters very little for religion.
Yeah.
And it caters very little for Muslims in particular. You know, in Madrasa, every year Ramzan, this question comes up from our learners, and Allah Ta'ala's planning such, on Friday the learners asked me, they said, Maulana, Ramzan is coming now. Is it permissible to study life orientation and NS natural sciences in Ramzan? So I asked them, I said, but, and every year I ask them, I want to hear it from them. I said, but what's the problem with life orientation? They said the textbook has such explicit graphics of the different phases that occur in the human body as they go through the phases of puberty. We find it hard to access those books in the month of Ramadan.
Allah.
Now, it might not be an explicit picture, it might be a diagram, it might be a sketch, but why? Why do we want to expose our masoom children to this? Especially in a case where we've got daughters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, what is the best gift a father can give his daughter, an uncle can give his niece, a grandfather? This might not be the exact word, but by virtue of explanation. And the Sahaba didn't know the answer, and Ali radiallahu anhu went home and asked Fatima radiallahu anha, he said, you know, today your father asked us this question, and what is the answer to the question? She said, the best gift any man can give to a woman, and a father particularly to his child, that they are brought up in such an environment, la yarayna rijal wa la yarayna hun, that she is not exposed to the filthy glances of strange men, and no, you know, so no men are exposed to her, nor is she exposed to strange men.
Allahu Akbar.
So this is So, you know, homeschooling our daughters especially is keeping in good Islamic value. And you know, Maulana, I came across an interesting fact while researching for this program. That homeschooling is the natural way.
Mm.
The first recorded school in the United States was in Latin Boston.
Mm.
And this is dated back to 1635. So prior to 1635, there was no formal schooling. Whatever happened, happened at home.
Mm.
So, you know, these are just a few. Another advantage of homeschooling, there's no peer pressure. Because you are in your home. You know, peer pressure has become such a daunting reality for our kids in Newcastle, and it's all speculation now because the case is pending. But 2 years ago, very tragically, not in a Muslim home, but nevertheless a tragic happening, a grade 5 or a grade 7, I'm not sure, maybe 11, 12-year-old boy committed suicide.
Allahu Akbar.
And when they went into the matter, and like I say, it's all speculation because the case is pending. But when they went into the matter, it was found that that day he was debanned in school from being a prefect.
Allahu Akbar.
And he came home and he tells his sister, he said, I lost my marriage and certain occurrences, and because of this I was debanned in the assembly and I'm going to kill myself. And she didn't think anything of it.
Mm.
And later, from a double bunk bed, whatever the scenario was, nevertheless he took his own life.
Allahu Akbar.
So this is the effect of peer pressure. Because the child is under so much of pressure to perform. The child wants results, is competing with his peers. In a homeschooling environment, we don't have that. Again, I'm saying this over and over again. These parents who send their children to mainstream schooling, they'll be shocked when they hear this and they start doubting their own decisions.
Mm.
The point is, let us be wary and let us take cognizance of this. They won't be a victim of bullying. Bullying has become extremely common in mainstream schooling. At home, they're under your neck. They're in your control. You can monitor that. You can monitor their progress. You can ground them. You can give them that Islamic upbringing. And again, I say, for mothers and parents who send their children to mainstream schooling, you know, a child comes home from school and he's tired, and maybe he walked into the house and he slammed the door and he threw his school bag. He didn't make salam. He didn't hug his mummy. He didn't kiss his mummy. He's upset. He's shouting at him. You don't know the manners. You've got no etiquette. You're banging the door. You throw your bag. Your father worked hard for it. You know, the child has a miserable day. The father comes back from work. The mother, you know, pours her heart out to the husband. The husband is now emotional and he ends up pressing the child. In the end of the whole exercise, all that that boy has learned is my father is a very strong man and he can hit harder than me.
Yeah.
Nothing else has come out of it. Whereas if we sat with a child, we spoke to him, like, why are you so upset? Why are you cross? Why did you come home like this today? And then he will pour his heart out. Mommy, today somebody bullied me. Mommy, the teacher picked on me. So in a homeschooling environment, you don't have that challenge. But if your child is going to mainstream schooling, take cognizance of his emotions. Because if you're not going to support him, if you're not going to help him, he's going to look for help somewhere else. Another very big advantage of homeschooling is children take responsibility for their own actions.
Mm.
In a classroom environment, there's 20 kids. We see it in a madrasa. Somebody threw a paper. Who did it? Nobody knows. Everybody is pointing to the next one. No, he did it. No, Maulana, it was him. He started. In a homeschooling environment, it's not such. And research has found that children who are homeschooled perform better in the professional world than those who go to mainstream schooling solely because they are responsible.
Subhanallah.
They are confined to a room and a teacher, and in the working environment, they are confined to an office and an administrator or a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So they are so used to, and they've become so conducive to that one-on-one interaction that now they perform better. In fact, I remember hearing some time back there was an accounting firm which looked at their most profitable candidates and those accountants that work under them, and it was found that many of them were homeschooled. And this was one of the many advantages. So I might have left out some, I might have mentioned some, but in a nutshell, these are just a few of the many advantages of, you know, giving our children homeschooling.
Yes, it is now 28 minutes after 7. You are listening to the Helpline program, and today we are discussing the advantages of sending your children to the homeschooling system. And Mullah mentioned some pertinent points. Number one, he said good environment, and then he went on to say individual attention is given in a homeschooling system. Islamic values are instilled within our children. There's no real peer pressure amongst our children when they are homeschooled. They won't be a victim of bullying. Children take responsibility for their actions and so forth. You as a listener can also contribute to our discussion on 011-854-1548-0722-18384. I'd like to hear from you. If you know of children that are homeschooled, what are the difference between them and the children that are schooled in the mainstream system? Behavior pattern, akhlaq-wise, character-wise, and all other faculties taken into account. What's the end result of the two children that you see in front of you? What would you opt for? That's what we are asking today, inshallah. We go for a commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue.
Ya akhi muslimu fi kulli makarin wa balad, anta minni wa ana minka.
This is Helpline 1548 with Mulana Habib Babak.
Welcome back to Helpline 1548 on Radio Islam International. We are discussing a scenario of a lady who is intending to put her children into homeschooling system, inshallah. And she just wants some clarification and some guidance with regards to making the decision in the right direction, inshallah. And Mara, coming back to the point of mainstream school, I know in homeschooling you've got a good environment, a holistic environment and so forth. It's important. But how do we create the same environment in a mainstream school, Mara?
Maulana, it is very, very difficult because in a mainstream school, we don't have control over what happens in the classroom. And unfortunately, today, very little emphasis is placed on the tarbiyah and upbringing of the children. You know, so we're going to have to instill into the minds of our children from home their values, and we have to be constantly at it. And sometimes in a mainstream school, those will be lost. Because like I'm saying, you know, there was that incident in the news very lately, maybe last week, in a very top school where, you know, and again, I say this, I'm apologizing to the senior listeners, but we have to mention these things so we know what's happening. You know, where the grade 10 to 12 girls were all asked to remove their clothing. You know, because there was, you know, a nasty material which was found on the school premises. And, you know, to identify who was involved in the crime, this was the process it went through. So we from home could have indoctrinated into the mind of our child that this is our upbringing, we don't expose our aura to anybody, and the child will go to school and the teacher will ask them to do it. So we got to be on it constantly. You know, there was an incident in Durban where a grandfather took his grandchild for Umrah. And when they reached Baytullah, you know, so this brings us to another point. While homeschooling is definitely what we are discussing, but a very sad reality is we find certain parents who, in the name of education, send their children to Catholic schools. And they feel it's perfectly okay to pay exorbitant fees because my child is getting a good education. But as I said in the introduction, we've got to understand what is our purpose in this world. So the grandfather takes his grandchild to the Kaabatullah, and he says, you know, let me go closer to my grandson to hear what dua he is making. And when he goes closer, he hears his grandson saying, Na'udhu billah, Allah ta'ala save us. He's saying, oh God, oh our Father in heaven. And he's asking his grandson, he said, right in front of Baytullah, you're making dua like this, where you learned this? He said, Dada, this is what they teach me in school.
Allahu Akbar.
Now,
yes.
Because it was from an affluent home, going to a so-called progressive school, but the subtle message and the subtle, you know, fitna and the subtle irtidad which was being, you know, put into the mind of this child to snatch the child's iman away, we have lost sight of that.
So,
coming back to your question, how do we maintain it in a school environment? Unfortunately, it's not possible because we don't have control of the school. We don't have control of what is happening in the classroom. There's children from different backgrounds, from different homes, different circumstances. But given the present situation, as parents, it's important that we take an active role. And I say this to the fathers in particular, so it's a lesson for me and for all of us. We find this in madrasa. You know, you meet the father in the masjid and you say, Baji, your son was not in madrasa. They say, no, I'll check with the wife and tell you. So he doesn't even know his child wasn't in madrasa. And if he wasn't there, why he wasn't there? Now, we are tired, we worked the whole day, but let us take an active role in the education of our children and in their upbringing. This will, inshallah, help in giving them that good grounding despite going to mainstream schooling.
Yes, and speaking about good environment, just one point and we conclude on this point, Manana, that the dwellers of the cave, Ashab al-Kahf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow certain animals to enter Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. And from among the certain animals is the dog of Ashab al-Kahf, the dog that accompanied those youngsters when they went into the cave. That dog will also enter Jannah al-Firdaus. Now, ulama deduced from us, this is the importance of environment. When you are in the company of the pious people, or in a holistic environment, then automatically a person will, the effect will rub off on you. So likewise, we should create an environment within our schools, within our madrasas, within our homes, where children are automatically inclined towards good. And when they are inclined towards good, inshallah, the outcome will also be good. And that's the point we conclude on. Mona, let's move on. The sister is saying that I'm worried that my children will be backwards if I homeschool them, and they'll be cut off from the larger community. How do we address this issue, Mona?
Subhanallah, Mona, we first have to define what is backwards.
Arriba.
You know, today we hear this very often. This child is backward. For a girl to be, for a human being to be cut off from dunya is what is desired. You know, when they speak about zuhud and living a life of zuhud, being cut off to a certain extent, and, you know, a life of abstinence, this is what is desired. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to hanker and get engrossed in the dunya. So on whose definition are we going to define backwards? If we take the definition of the West, then there, you know, if we take what they have done to women, their whole understanding of backward is something else. You know, I was reading an article lately which was written by a Christian, Catholic, and he mentioned 6 reasons not to send your daughter to college. And all his points he proved from the Bible and from biblical teachings. So, you know, I think that having a fear for the child being backward is definitely not. Because it all depends on how we define it. We have been sent to this world prepare in preparation for the akhirah. So if our child has advanced Islamically, if our child has good morale, good character, then it will be very selfish to refer to that child as a backward child. Because he doesn't know the latest techno gadget, because he doesn't know the latest cell phone, because he doesn't know the latest movie showing on the screen, because he's not familiar with the names of the popular soccer players, are we now going to refer to that child as backward? That will be very backward on our side.
Subhanallah.
Referring to that child as backward is only a sign of how backward we are. You know, Maulana, so I think it will be very, very wrong, especially when it comes to the aspect of our daughters, because Allah Ta'ala refers to the qualities of a good woman in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ غَافِلَاتِ, those women who are cut off from the norms of society, from the so-called progressive and so-called advancement of females, you know, they are cut off from that. That is what Sharia wants. So really, I think while the woman has reason to be concerned today, unfortunately, objection comes from within our own ranks. You know, many a time a father will come and consult. He'll say, Maulana, I want to put my son in Darul Uloom, but my brother is objecting. You know, he's got no future. What will happen to it? So unfortunately, those challenges are gonna come. Those challenges will be put before us, but it's left for us to be very, very firm. And if in terms of backwards we understand financial retrogression, then that should never be a concern. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا, that give your children salah. In other words, give them deen. And you have given them everything. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. Allah Ta'ala says, as a parent, not one day have I asked you to provide rozi for the child.
Allah.
Rozi is my responsibility. So if by backward we understand financial backward, that the child won't get a degree and he won't make that amount of money, then that is a total false notion, because our rozi is written, yes, we have to make an effort for it, but only what Allah Ta'ala has written for us will we get. So I think it is rather foolish to raise that type of an objection while we have to admit that objection will be raised. Allah Ta'ala save us from having those type of thoughts.
Yes, it's very important. Well, a very interesting point to make about people who are studying Islamic studies, Darul Uloom. Now you find in a family of 4 children or 5 children, the dropout normally goes to the Darul Uloom, and that's how we are actually treating it. Unfortunately, that shouldn't be our case. We should be treating our children in all equally and giving them Islamic morals and upbringing. And Mullah, it's interesting you say about the rosy aspect. The Mullah's bichara, they drive in Camry, but they're still sustaining their parents. These guys, they got degrees, they're earning 30,000, 40,000, and they can't even make 500 for their own parents. They say, no, I got no money, they pay honey money. So that's the end result and the product of the children when you go through the two different systems of life. Maulana, he's not worried where he's going to get the next bread from. He say, no, mommy comes first and daddy comes first, and parents are first before anybody else. So priorities are also mixed up when you send them through the different system, Maulana.
No, 100%, Maulana. And you know, like you're saying, generally that dropout is sent to Darul Uloom. But in life, he will always be in the forefront.
Allah.
Because tomorrow, when there's a nikah in the family, then it's that dropout we're going to call. Somebody is sick, then it's not, let's call the dropout. No, call Maulana, tell him to make dua, you know. Tomorrow, that janaza, he's going to be the man standing there. And you know, today, like I say, Maulana, there are very, very shocking incidents that are happening. And if we're not going to wake up to reality, unfortunately, the end result is not going to be good. In South Africa, we have become so complacent and so relaxed with what we have. Allah Ta'ala keep it, but we must not lose sight of what had happened to the Soviets, the Russians. You know, where deen was rife, it was markers of deen. And there came a time for 70 years where the name of Allah Ta'ala couldn't be taken.
Allah.
2 weeks ago, there was an incident where a father passed away and the child didn't attend the janazah. Now, these incidents are shocking and they might sound far-fetched, but Allah is my witness, all of these are true incidents that have happened in good homes. And the son didn't attend the janazah. And somebody asked the son, they said, you know, why didn't you attend the janazah? Na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala save us. He said, I married this Hindu girl and now I'm no longer a Muslim.
Allahu Akbar.
So these are the harsh realities. I went to a janazah where the son performed the janazah and he made dua at the qabr side of his mother. And I was with 2 senior people, you know, and the one senior mentioned to the other, he said, this mother is so fortunate that her son performed the janaza and made dua. Me, I'm telling you, my lighty, after he puts me in the ground, is gone.
Worried more about a GTI after that.
You see, Maulana, so these are harsh realities. Allah Ta'ala save us.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really save us and our children. It's important. 011-854-1548-07222-07222-18384. We've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam, Maulana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, this is there.
It's shocking you're saying that people are converting for the sake of their wives. They should bring their wives back to Islam and you know, say the Kalima again. Also, the schooling, the other lady says we don't send the children to school, they'll be backwards, or send them to college, they'll be backwards. There are material that can be, and now everything is on the computers and laptops and things like that. They can get the information, they can study from there.
Yes, interesting, sister. Jazakumullah for that.
Because I remember when we were going to school, our father told us, no, we don't need to go to school, we are young girls now. We don't need to finish our matric. This thing, I sat and I cried. But then now I'm thinking, on the better, I can go to college and things like that, because things are very bad. Even while we were in school, I'm talking about like 30 years ago, things are very bad at school.
Jazakumullah, sister, very insightful call. Right, that was the caller giving us experience from first hand that she did not attend college and that, but they done it from home. Well, another form of homeschooling is studying through UNISA and all other courses that we have nowadays.
You know, alhamdulillah, today with technology and the advancement, it has become much more easier than what it was many years ago.
Alhamdulillah. We go for a commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue.
You're listening to the Helpline 1548.
SMS Maulana Habib Bobat on 07-222-18384 or email hbobat@radioislam.co.za. That's hbobat@radioislam.co.za.
يا أخي المسلم في كل مكان وبلد أنت مني وأنا منك.
This is Helpline 1548 with مولانا حبيب بابا.
وبلد أنت مني وأنا منك روحي.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We are discussing homeschooling and the advantages that a person has when he homeschools the children. Malana, there's an SMS coming through. It reads, on a lighter side, Malana, no dropping when it comes to homeschooling. Number one, you can go for holidays off-peak season, and also you can always get a position in a class. And this reminds me, you know, when Darul Zakaria just started, I had some very old graduates now, and then we meet up with them. So I was always in the top three and top fives, because that time there were only seven children in the class, Malana.
Yeah, those are definitely some added privileges of homeschooling.
Subhanallah. Well, the mother is also worried about the social angle of the children. She says that my children might grow up to be introverts. How do we deal with the situation?
Maulana, in the homeschooling industry, this is about the most daunting question that any mother will be posed, you know. They refer to it as the big S question. You know, just as a general advice before we help the sister, and part of this will help her make her mind up, is today we have taken socializing to different highs. We are our children's best friend. We are there to take them to masjid, to take them to talim. You know, just to share with you two incidents, one which I was personally involved in and one maybe not so personally involved in. We had an incident at a specific school, and because it involved Muslim children, we were called in as an intervention. There were four grade four learners who were drawing explicit pictures of the opposite gender.
Allah.
And they were called to the office, and the principal asked them, he said, okay, we got no objection to you drawing. But in grade four, how do you know that is what you're supposed to draw? And they didn't answer. And when they left the office, two girls came back. And, you know, they said, look, we want to tell you people something, but we were waiting for the remainder two to leave. And they confided to the teachers in the office. They said, this weekend we were socializing. You see the medical word they use, socializing. You must have a social circle. So we were socializing with our friend, and we had lunch at her house. Allah Ta'ala save us. And for those of us who are involved in this, let us take heed from it. The girl of the house told her friends that now we finish eat, mommy is busy washing the dishes, let me take you in the room and show you some of my father's books. And this is where they were exposed firsthand to pornography, and where they seen intimate images of the opposite gender.
Allahu Akbar, it's really, really sweet.
All of this is a result of socializing. There was a case about 2-3 months ago, a 13-year-old girl went socializing after the Jumu'ah Salah. Her father found her the following morning at approximately 2 a.m. in a felt. She was totally out of her mind, intoxicated, a victim of substance abuse, and in her surroundings were 13 boys, all of them undressed.
Allahu Akbar, that is so sad, Malana.
All of this is because we've gone into the socializing buzz. Our children need to socialize. They need to have nights out. They need to be with their friends. They need to know what's happening. They got to be abreast of the time. But where do we draw the line?
Yeah, through socializing, they are legalizing. Unfortunately, not good. We've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Maulana, my input is, I don't have children, but I'm for homeschooling, and at my workplace, I get a lot of white farmers that shoot homeschooling with their children. And their way of socializing is, having sports together, in and around. I live in the KwaZulu-Natal area. So they have a radius of about 100, 150, 200 kilometers, Well, we don't have to go that route, but we can have girls-only, boys-only, sports. Just my input, I don't know.
Wonderful input, Sister Jazakumullah, for that.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting point Sister brings up. You can go swimming with your son, or you can go horse riding, or you can learn archery, and a lot of other activities, Mona.
100%, Mona. You know, it's what memories are we leaving for our children. You know, I know we're running out of time, but this incident, it really touches my heart every time I say it.
Mm.
There was a boy who came for counseling. He was 17 years old, and the counselor, and this also happened very lately, the counselor realized every time mention of his father is made, he brushes the topic away.
Yeah.
So the counselor asked the mother and said, you know what, what's the relationship between your son and his father? And the mother said, you know, my husband passed on about 7 years ago. My son lost his father at the age of 10. So the counselor asked the son, and you see, this is my point. What memories do we leave for our children?
Mm.
Ask the son that what's the fondest memory you have of your father? And listen to the reply of this young boy. He said, you know, when I grew up, I was afraid of the dark. And my father would leave the bathroom light on at night when I slept.
Mm.
And he had bought a digital clock that he put on my bedside, because the red light would also give off some light.
Mm.
He says, every morning at 3 o'clock, I would wake up because my father would be busy in the bathroom making wudu, and he would leave the door open because of the light, and then he would read his tahajjud in the passage.
Mm.
He says, when I used to look at the time on the digital clock, it would be 3 o'clock, and I would look at my father performing the tahajjud. It would calm my mind down, and I would fall off to sleep like that.
SubhanAllah.
He says, today, this is what I miss the most. He said, from the day my father passed away till today, I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, I look at my watch, it still shows 3 o'clock, and I look in the passage, and there's nobody reading tahajjud.
Yes, they say if you want to be in your memory, in your children's memories tomorrow, you need to spend time with them today.
So, Malana, the socializing aspect has finished the moral fiber of our homes, because they are socializing with everybody else. Like the sister rightfully said, we can take them to events, we can have sports, you know, we can take them to the masjid, we can take them to Taaleem, we can take them in Jamaat, we can take them for Kush. All of this is socializing.
Then there won't be that belly that you develop after marriage. The stomach, at least you'll be doing activities with your children, Mala.
100%, but at the same time, we must acknowledge that it's a myth that children who are homeschooled are unsociable. There are certain children who by nature are introverts. You know, sometimes you interact with, and I'm not running down the fraternity, but you interact with doctors.
Yeah.
The doctor is an introvert. Now, he went to kindergarten, he went to school, he went to university, he specialized, he's in the surgery, he's meeting people every day, but he's an introvert.
Mm.
So, this is part, and there is place for everybody in the dunya.
Mm.
If your child is introvert, not now they're going to kick him out of the dunya. You know? There is space for him also.
Yeah, but it's better. You don't get into trouble.
Yeah. So rather have your child unsociable, than, like Maulana mentioned the hadith, you rather sit alone than sit in the company of an evil man.
Mm.
So rather be unsociable than get involved in a social cycle which will be a means, which will lead to the destruction of the family. Allah Ta'ala save us.
Mm. Just to recap what Maulana said early on with regards to the advantages, we're going towards the end of the program. To recap on the most important points, Maulana mentioned is a good environment provided in a homeschool system. There's individual attention. Islamic values are instilled. No peer pressure. Won't be a victim of bullying. Children take responsibility of their own actions. And the interaction that came from one of our listeners, that there's no drop-in. You can go for off-peak holidays. You can always get a positioning class. Those are some of the advantages that we discussed today. And Maulana also tackled the social angle, and as well as the angle of being backwards. How are we really backwards? Well, it leads us to the last part of the program, your general advice for our listeners.
Maulana, you know, this is, it might sound very harsh, but it's a reality. You can lock your child in a room and you can seal it to the extent of where minimal air gets into the room. But if you have given your child a cell phone and you have given him the TV, you've exposed him to all the wrong in the world. So while you homeschool your child, you send him to mainstream schooling, in the end of the day, the earnest lies with the parents.
Hmm.
what we're going to expose our children to, the World Wide Web, www. If we get them caught up in this web, we will lose them. You know, last week on Radio Islam, Maulana Dawood Sidat was on. What a beautiful program for those who heard it. Some of our children have cell phones. He's mentioned a very pertinent point, and I will share it again. He said, if your child got a cell phone, you've given it to him, you've made the mistake, make it a rule. When you go to bed, your phone stays with me.
Subhanallah.
So really, Maulana, homeschooling, with all these advantages, if as parents we are not going to realize, like I've mentioned in the opening statement, what is our objective and purpose in this life, if we lose track of that, we have lost everything.
Well, Jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. It has been a very wonderful program.
Jazakumullah khairan to you, Maulana.